Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1. In this passage, we see that the prophet Ezekiel, then he sees the Lord God Jehovah coming down to him and speaking to him. And Ezekiel, he gets a glimpse of the throne of glory. And you can imagine the awesome power of God that is manifested. And he comes down through basically a wind that comes out of nowhere. Call it tornado, whirlwind, hurricane, whatever you want to call it. But God, he comes down through this whirlwind or hurricane, and then he speaks to Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, you can't help it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now you'll notice that at verse 24, that when God was speaking to him, it was like many waters. And then you look at verse 4, it was like a whirlwind. So how I see it as is kind of like a hurricane. It may not technically be that way, but you could probably picture it as a hurricane, so to speak, that God would speak to Ezekiel. And throughout our day and age, we have seen so many catastrophes and hurricanes that happen. Hurricane Sally. I was there during Hurricane Ivan, actually, at Florida, and I had to do a lot of yard work and tree work that time. We've seen a Hurricane Katrina, and a lot of Sodomites, even though Hurricane Katrina hit, they just did their parade anyway afterwards. So we have seen many natural catastrophes and hurricanes. Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ivan, Hurricane Sally, etc. But I want to tell you a different hurricane that's coming. Today my title is Hurricane Jehovah is coming. Let's pray.
Amen.
God my Father, wash away my sins with your precious and most holy blood, and fill within me the power of your Holy Spirit. I need to preach what you want me to preach. This is what you laid upon my heart. God, I come before you weak, exhausted again, but you can fill me again, and you can use this sermon again, and you can convict these people again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right then. So in this preaching, what it's going to be covering today is a different type of preaching that you might hear. This may not be your normal kind of preaching you might hear in churches, where people talk in a calm voice, in a serious manner. And some of you think that it's a Catholic funeral sometimes. That's what you think a typical church service is. But today, the preaching that you're going to be hearing is going to be a lot of shout.
Yeah, amen.
So you came to the wrong church service. But if you like that kind of preaching, will stir up your spirit where you could use a little shouting, then,
amen, man,
just buckle your seatbelts and enjoy yourself, because this hurricane's coming.
Amen.
And that buckle, that seatbelt, just might go unplugged, bless God.
Amen.
All right, let's go look at verse 1. All right, the kitchen's on fire, bless God. All right, then. I don't know if the ushers are watching this online and they're on fire too. You might see one just bolt out of the door and come in all of a sudden in the middle of the preaching. You just never know, okay? All right. My first point is Hurricane Jehovah is not detained. It's not detained. Let's look at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. I like how it says that in verse 1 and verse 2, we see that this is during a time of captivity. The children of Israel, they were detained. They were locked down. They were under slavery. But despite of being detained, despite of being in slavery, that did not stop Jehovah. At verse 3, the hand of the Lord was upon him.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you that Hurricane Jehovah is not detained. I don't care how many months, 2 years, you do a lockdown. Yeah. Hurricane Jehovah is not detained. It cannot be stopped. What is the definition of a hurricane? Well, Webster's 1828 dictionary, it reads, a most violent storm of wind occurring often in the West Indies and sometimes in higher northern latitudes and on the coast of the United States as far north as New England. A hurricane is distinguished from every other kind of tempest by the extreme violence of the wind and by its sudden changes. The wind often veering suddenly several points, sometimes a quarter of the circle and even more. I like this definition. Basically, it goes wherever it goes. And basically, you can't control it. You can't stop it. I mean, that's a perfect description of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 tells you, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. So notice that the Lord God Almighty Jehovah is the Spirit. And if some Jehovah Witness wants to say that, no, the Holy Spirit is not Jehovah, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 again in the New World Translation. Yeah, the Jehovah Witness Bible says, now Jehovah is that Spirit. I can give an amen to that New World Translation over there. Maybe I might approve of that translation over there. In that verse, bless God. Jehovah cannot be detained. It has liberty. It will move wherever it goes. So the spirit power of Jehovah is like that mighty blast of wind. And it goes wherever it goes and you can't tell and you cannot predict it. The Holy Spirit just moves. Sometimes when we go to church, will there be shouting? Will there be singing? Will there be laughter or will there be quietness? Will there be seriousness? Will there be tears? I don't know. Just wherever the Holy Spirit goes, Amen. He'll go. And Amen. You need to right now, if you all have the Holy Spirit of God within you, according to John chapter 3, verse 8, you're born of the Holy Spirit. So you can tell. You can tell when the Holy Spirit's convicting you. You can tell when the Holy Spirit wants you to get things right with the Lord, what to do. The Holy Spirit will tell you to get on the aisle early and get right with God. You don't have to wait till the end of preaching. The Holy Spirit will tell you that after the service is over that there are some things you need to clean out of your house. The Holy Spirit will tell you that, hey, you need to shout. The Holy Spirit will tell you that this is just like a normal church service. Just shut up and listen. You never know. But the Holy Spirit, you know each and every one of you has the Holy Spirit telling every one of you what to do. And it cannot be locked down. It cannot be tightened. It cannot be bound. If the Holy Spirit moves and says, I don't care what Governor Newsom says, and I don't care what all the liberal county officials says, if I want to stay right here at Silicon Valley, I'm just going to stick right here and use these people to preach the gospel, to win souls, and plant a church, and get some people saved. Nothing's going to stop me.
Amen.
Governor Newsom, he can stop. The county officials can stop people, but you can't stop the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. It moves like a hurricane. It moves wherever it goes.
Amen.
Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2.
Come on.
Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. It cannot be locked up. We don't have to worry about the mandatory measures or restrictions, because has not the Holy Spirit continued its fire, its movement, despite a persecution during the Dark Inquisition in communist countries and Muslim nations? The Holy Spirit is still loose. It cannot be stopped.
Amen. Amen.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says over here, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So notice over here that the Holy Spirit is likened to wind, and he's the one that gave the apostles to speak in different languages.
Yeah.
All right, it wasn't gibberish, all right?
Yeah.
It was different languages.
Yeah.
Now look at verse 37.
Exactly.
Verse 37. So the speaking of tongues you hear at churches is actually wrong. It's
Amen.
Not
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, he's going to use an audible language
Amen.
Where it convicts people, where they can hear and understand the word of God that is spoken to them. It's not all emotionalism. Now let's look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now notice over here that the Holy Spirit is like this wind, Hurricane Jehovah, powerful enough to convict the people. Notice that these people's hearts were pricked. It was convicted.
Yeah.
It was crushed because the Holy Spirit convicted them. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you so stubborn right now to not let the Holy Spirit convict you? The Holy Spirit is telling you to do something right now. It's telling you that there are some things in your life you need to get straightened out. That there are some things you need to get right with God. That you need to give Him greater glory. And that you need to give Him more praise.
Amen.
But why are you so stubborn? Why are you binding Him with your carnality? Many times it's just because you're carnal. You're just fleshly and worldly. Which is the reason why you don't get things cleaned up in your house. And you don't give God the glory. Sometimes it's because of a bad attitude that you've got. You just whine and complain. You nitpick about things. And there are problems amongst the brethren. Problems amongst the home. And because of a bad attitude, that's the reason why you bind the Holy Spirit and you don't let Him convict you. You don't let it loose. You don't let it loose. Is it your depression that's binding the Holy Spirit? Some of you are going through sad moments, and I don't know what kind of trial or test that you're going through, but your depression is binding the Holy Spirit and not letting the Holy Spirit fill within you the joy of the Lord and giving Him the glory. What is it that's binding the Holy Spirit? Is it your worries? You're just wondering about, what will other people think about me? Oh, I don't want to appear like a Christian to other people. And how will my future turn out, and what's going to happen to my work, with my school, with the people around me? I don't know what you're worried about, but those worries are they binding the Holy Spirit?
Wow.
Is what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? The only thing that's holding you back is actually your fear, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you afraid of that you can't do it? It's your fear. Let the Holy Spirit loose. Let it break free.
Yeah.
Let it break free.
Amen.
What is it that's binding you down? Is it your tiredness? I mean, we get tired with the job. We get tired with school. We get tired with trials. We get tired of, like, I mean, sometimes it is hard work to wake up early in the morning when you want to take a day off that Sunday, and then you drag your flesh to church, and then you drag yourself to soul winning, and then you drag yourself to serve God. Sometimes it can be work. What is it that's binding you? Don't bind the Holy Spirit. Break
Amen.
Those chains and let the Holy Spirit loose and unleash the hurricane.
Amen.
Unleash the hurricane. Don't let the demon of carnality bind you down. Don't let the demon of bad attitude bind you down. Don't let the demon of depression bind you down. Don't let the demon of worries bind you down. Don't let the demon of tiredness bind you down. Don't give any room to the devil.
Amen.
You are giving some sort of room in your heart to the devil. A little bit of depression. a little bit of room for misery, a little bit of room for the demon of worry, a little bit of room for the demon of fear, a little bit of room for the demon of carnality. Don't give any space to the devil. Let the Holy Spirit take all the room. Let him take all the room. All the room, every inch, every corner, and let him loose. What is the devil that's binding this room right now? What is the devil that's binding your heart right now? I don't want any devils in this room today as I'm preaching to you the word of God. Somebody please kick out the devil. Drive the devil out of this room. Let Hurricane Jehovah fill this room. Awesome power of God, fill this room and drive out those demons. Drive those demons away. If you're sad today, there's no room for sadness today. You're worried today, there's no room for worries today. If you're all you are is sick and tired, there's no room of tiredness today. Get that out of here. Let the Holy Spirit flow.
That's good. That's good, brother.
You know what a hurricane does? It would destroy buildings and it will wash them all away.
Come on.
A disastrous effect. But if we take it into a positive light.
Yeah, come on.
If we take it to a positive light and liken it to the Holy Spirit, man, that's something to shout about.
Amen.
How so? You can picture those tall towers, those tall buildings of your sin. Where you spend so long building a foundation, working hard every day, every year to make the building very nice and very clean. And those building of sin seem to grow higher and higher, taller and taller. And then it started to overshadow the sun and overshadow the beautiful sight of God's creation. And because of that, all you see is sin all around you. And that's partially true if you go to cities today. Usually the wicked places, the most wicked places you go are in these crowded cities, these tall buildings. And then as you saw, these building of sins, it just would not stop. It just kept going higher and higher because that's what sin does to you. You just want to build sin even higher and higher. As the tall building of sins grew taller and taller, it began to be a giant populated city that just bound your soul, and there seemed to be no room for the Holy Spirit because there seems to be millions of devils crowding around that city. And all you could do is when you saw thousands upon thousands of sins binding your soul, all you could do during those days when you were lost in sin, can you imagine those years that you spent building your sins, lost, headed for hell, that all you could do was cry out to God, Lord Jesus, I want to get saved. Lord Jesus, these sins are tiring me out. This is not my life anymore. Save my soul, Lord Jesus, please. And Jesus, he heard your cry. And then he told the Holy Spirit, I want you to go to the city. And that city's name is Jinhakim. And then you see those tall buildings over there? Man, it's populated with millions of sins over there. And I want you, Holy Spirit, enter inside that heart, that city called Jinhakim. And I want that Holy Spirit to come down like a rushing mighty wind, born again, and just wash away and crush down all those buildings. And then it's right at that time, at the sinner's prayer, when I fell on my knees and I said, oh God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, save my soul from a burning hell. I trust in you, the shed blood of Calvary, to wash away my sins. And it was at that moment that sin was trembling. The demons of hell were trembling. And Satan was about to lose his child, who was headed for hell. And then God, the Holy Spirit, start to warn those devils inside the cities of my heart. Evacuate the premises. You are not safe here. Evacuate the premises. And then when I was going, in Jesus' name, amen. And at that point, the siren was going, whirr, it's coming, whirr. And then all of a sudden, when I went, amen, the Holy Spirit came down and flooded my soul, knocked over building 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, crushed an entire city, drowned out the whole population of sin, covered under the blood.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's good.
Bless God, man.
Amen.
let's look at verse 4. Let's go back to our main text, Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, and we'll read verse 4.
That's good preaching, brother. Come on.
And let the Holy Spirit come out! Man, bless God. As soon as you got saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit got sealed within you.
Thank you.
And now let Him fill you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's look at verse 4. My second point is Hurricane Jehovah is not depleted. It is not depleted. It says, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Right? Now that's Jehovah. Look at verse 24 to 25. And they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host when they stood. They let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. You'll notice over here that the glory of God, like great waters, that He was filling up the whole place. So He was growing and increasing. He was not depleting. And you got to understand that Hurricane Jehovah is not depleted. I mean, you see mankind trying to deplete the power of God. Acts chapter 5, verse 39. One unbeliever said, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Man, that's an encouraging verse. It shows over here that, hey, if God's work is within this ministry, then you're fighting against God and no one can stop it. That's right. That's right. You cannot stop it. CNN, NBC, Fox News, and all the liberal news media, and all the conservative news media, and all the world's news media. You cannot deplete the power of God, where the news media, they will try to condemn every single preacher who's out on the street and make them look crazy so that they can put a paranoid fear amongst people in the future when they receive a tract from a street preacher, when they drive by and hear the word of God, and they try to demonize street preachers and pick the really bad ones. But despite of their condemnation towards street preaching, bless God, souls are still won out on the streets. Souls are still going on their knees and doing the sinner's prayer. Souls are still giving, honking their horns and giving the thumbs up to the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, they knock on all the doors. So then the Christians, it's like they have no room to knock on doors, because if they look at you, they're going to think first thing, Mormon and Jehovah Witness. So you would think that visitation power would be depleted. It would be decreased. No, souls are still won through doors today. Knock on doors. I come down in a full suit sometimes or in a tie, and there are still souls reading those tracts, listening the gospel, receiving it, getting saved. You see these stupid signs all over the neighborhood about science is real and blah, blah, blah. They put everything. Love is love. Bless God. Thank God that those houses over there received over 100 tracts.
Right.
Bless God, you can't deplete the Holy Spirit power of God. You can't. And the atheists, they criticize an all-loving God. And they say, if God is all-loving, why would disease happen? Why would famine happen? Why would children starve to death? Why are there people being murdered, people being raped, and no one's intervening? God is not saving them. How can God be all-loving? And there are so many believers who are going through unfairness and hurt in their lives, and they even start questioning an all-loving God. But despite of the mighty atheist criticism, the Almighty God, His love is truly manifested, that there are still Christians who believe Him so strongly that they're willing to die for His name, sacrifice for Him, go through unfairness, go through trials and tribulations for His name's sake, through persecution for His name's sake. Bless God, His power is not depleted no matter what Mr. Atheist says. Those homosexuals, they keep recruiting all the people. The news media just flashes them. The school flash them. They just make you think that homosexuality is such a huge majority nowadays that people should believe it. These people are a minority group that we should accept into our society. Now it's transforming into this majority phase where everyone's condoning, everyone's receiving. But the only recruiting they can, these homosexuals get to their lifestyle is still just a handful. It's still just a handful. When every day you see Christians who are recruited at day one, day two, day three, who believe in Jesus Christ, who get saved, and who attend a Christian church. So, amen. What happened, you homosexuals? God's power is not depleted. It's still powerful and mighty. People mock God and get educated. They mock about sin. They get educated out of sin. They think that sin is good. Sin is okay. And sadly, even Christian churches of all things are condoning and accepting sin into their churches with the worldly music, the worldly dressing, the worldly lifestyle, the worldly conversation. And they include Hollywood of all things included in that inside the gospel. Of all things, they try to... The world tries to mock about sin and educate people about sin. And in psychology classes, they try to get rid of the guilt in you and then try to justify every sin in the book. But man, that power is so little compared to the Holy Spirit who still convict people on the altars today about their sin. They realize it's wicked, it's wrong, and God, I repent, I get right with you, cover it under the blood. The Holy Spirit's power cannot be be depleted. You cannot get rid of the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's getting upon sinners' lives and they want to get right with God.
Amen.
You can't. False churches, they claim that King James only churches are dying out and that it's a cult and that believing the King James Bible is the only word of God. All other versions are false. These people are minuscule. They're heretical. They're cultish in their mentality. But you still can't get rid of that book, bless God. Amen. That book is still going up on sales, and academics, even lost liberal academics, cannot deny that the best English language of the Bible is the King James Bible, and not the NIV can compare to it. And those ESV guys, they say, we have to match up to it. So that's why they produce their ESV. But guess what, man? That King James Bible sold billions of copies. You got a long way to go, ESV. Take that!
Amen.
Amen.
And these liberals and other religions, they degrade the name of Jesus Christ. They try to make Jesus like he's as good as Buddha. He's as good as Muhammad. He is not God. He was just a great teacher. And he would condone the homosexual lifestyle. And he never got angry before. He is such a loving Jesus. And they degrade my Jesus. But guess what, man? That name is still above all other names. It will outcompete Obama. It will outcompete Amen. Biden. It will outcompete Amen. Trump. The name of Jesus Christ is still number one. And his name is mentioned. It is mentioned in churches literally every single day, if not every single Sunday. His name is mentioned. We pray and close in his name. We sing hymns that address his name. We mention about his name in the preaching of the word of God. You can't silence Jesus. Man, the Holy Spirit of God cannot be depleted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17, it reads, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man," and that is our flesh, "perish, yet the inward man," which is our spirit, "is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Amen. That verse is a great verse because it talks about that despite of the weakness in our flesh and we feel like we're tiring out and that we're being depleted, the Holy Spirit is getting renewed day by day.
Yes, sir.
And our reward in heaven is higher. So some of you feel depleted. You're like, man, I heard so many things about the filling power of the Spirit and I want to produce fruits for the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. But man, my flesh is just bogging me down and I feel so weak and depleted. Let me tell you something. Just because your flesh is depleting does not mean that the Holy Spirit power within you is depleting.
Amen.
You might say, why? Because the more weak your flesh becomes and it depletes, the more stronger Jehovah the Spirit becomes. Because the outward man is perishing while the Holy Spirit is becoming stronger,
right,
maturing, taking hits, and then growing more in the Lord in its own way, not your own way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It goes where you can't predict. It doesn't go according to your calculation. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. So I just want to tell you that if you are tired, if you feel like that you're going to die of depression and misery, and that you drag yourself to church, drag yourself to Bible reading, drag yourself to prayer, drag yourself to soul winning, and because of this COVID-19 situation that the numbers are depleting, and that your shout is depleting, and that your joy and then your spirit and your energy is depleting, guess what? That it is not a sign that the Holy Spirit is getting weaker. It is a sign of the Holy Spirit becoming stronger within you, maturing within you, accepting trials and afflictions and learning how to handle them. And then the Holy Spirit of God, it becomes even stronger and handles any situation and life-threatening case. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. So guess what? You're not dying. Can I tell you something today? Can I tell you something today? You feel like dying? You're not dying. You're not dying. The Holy Spirit is in you and can fill you and use you. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 through 14, it says, in whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit, man, he will never leave you when you get saved.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll never leave you when you get saved.
Thank you, Lord.
When you trust and believe on Christ for your salvation, it's sealed. Man,
amen.
Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit bought you and secured you. No man and nothing in creation or on hell or in this side of the other universe can ever get you.
Thank you.
Man, that eternal security is eternally secured and cannot be depleted.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, that's such a blessing. I mean, can you imagine where it's like a situation when there were an auction of slaves and you and I were used to be the slaves of the devil, slaves to sin and iniquity. And then every time that every one person was bought by the devil, worldliness stepped in and said, I will buy that soul. And then the auctioneer cried out, sold! And then what happened was the demon of worldliness took that soul and damned that soul to hell. And there was a demon of drugs that stepped in and said, I'll buy that other soul. And the auctioneer cried out, sold! And the demon of drugs stole that other soul. The demon of riches said, well, I'll buy that soul. And the auctioneer in Palo Alto cried out, sold! And all those souls in that city were sold to the demon of riches. Then the demon of education stepped in, and he stepped inside Berkeley and Santa Cruz, and he said, I'll buy all these souls. You know, they'll do whatever I tell them to do in sin and iniquity. And the auctioneer cried out, sold! And those poor souls were damned. And they were enslaved to the demon of education. Then the demon of religion stepped in, and he said, I'll buy Santa Clara. Catholicism, I have over a billion souls. Islam, over a billion. Buddhism, Judaism, Jainism, Taoism, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Church of Christ. The demon of religion said, let me get all these souls. And the auctioneer cried out, soul. Then it came to Gene Kim, and this demon stepped forward, and this demon said, I'll buy Gene Kim with. And then Jesus Christ pushed that devil over and said, I'll buy Gene Kim. I'll buy Gene Kim. And the auctioneer cried out, what price can you pay? That's more expensive than the demon of worldliness, than the demon of drugs, than the demon of religion. And Jesus Christ said, I'll give up all of my life's earning to buy Gene Kim. I'm giving up my own life's blood and I'll die for him. That's my life's earning. I'll buy Gene Kim with my blood. And then the auctioneer cried out, Gene Kim sold under the blood of Christ. Gene Kim sold under the blood of Christ. And then bless God, God did not stop over there in Jesus Christ. He says, hey, I'm not done yet, auctioneer. I'm coming around San Jose, Santa Clara, Silicon Valley, San Francisco, Bay Area. I'm going to buy him. And I'll buy every one of them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, I got enough payment to pay through my eternal blood.
Amen.
And then the auctioneer cried out. He couldn't help but cry out one at a time as the soul was set free from the chains of slavery. Robert Garcia sold under the blood of Christ. Sean Lawler sold under the blood of Christ. Jackie Lou sold under the blood of Christ. Jared sold under the blood of Christ. Daniel sold under the blood of Christ. Randall sold under the blood of Christ. Sold, 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 sold. He bought ya.
Amen.
Sure did.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's look at verse 26. And my last point is Hurricane Jehovah is not degraded. Hurricane Jehovah is not degraded. Look at verse 26 through 28. You'll notice verse 26, his appearance, that all of heaven reflects it in its beauty, because all you see is pureness and holiness. Verse 27 is the same, and verse 28 is the same, which is why Ezekiel cannot help but just fall on his face. Why? Because Hurricane Jehovah is not degraded. It is holy. It is pure. And the sad thing is that many times when Jehovah wants to move like a hurricane and use you, that you degrade it. And because of unholiness and your degradation, the Holy Spirit cannot move as powerfully. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 and 21 and 23, which you don't have to turn to, but I'll read it. Pay attention as I read it. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, that verse wants you to be renewed in the spirit, the Holy Spirit to just be refreshed and empower you. But you know what? We're past feeling into our sin. In other words, some of you are probably wondering right now, I don't sense the Holy Spirit moving mildly in my life. Was it only at a blowout service? Was it only at a summer camp that you sensed the Holy Spirit move? Was it only because of a preacher who gave a dramatic sermon and made you shout? When was the last time that you felt the Holy Spirit moving like a hurricane, where you were like uncontrollably just passing out tracts, uncontrollably just talking to souls and witnessing to them left and right? Last time that you just gave a shout and then you just wanted to praise his holy name. The last time that you just went on the altar and just spent time and then just wept over your sin and then just repented everything in your life. The last time that you cleaned up your house, took every sinful thing inside your house, inside your devices, and cleaned it all out. When's the last time that the Holy Spirit filled within you, but you can't feel him empowering you as much anymore, moving within you? Some of you are wondering why you can't feel it. It's because you degraded him. If you spend more and more time building up in sin, skipping your Bible reading and prayer, and then grieving the Holy Spirit by not singing hymns and coming to church, and then you spend so much time doing unholy things, sinful things, what you're doing is you're rejecting the Holy Spirit from convicting you. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit saying no. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit saying, why don't you pray one more minute? Why don't you pass out one more tract? Why don't you spend one more time with me? And then because you're so used to rejecting, what happens now is that the conviction that you resisted now becomes past feeling, that you no longer feel the guilt and the conviction anymore. Why? Because you're used to saying no. You're used to drowning out the guilt. So you lose the feeling of the joy in the things of God. You weren't excited for church as before. Or maybe you were never excited to begin with. That would be even more sad. Did any of you experience the joy of the Lord, the filling power of the Holy Spirit? Did any of you experience that before? Or when was the, or have you rarely felt that? When's the last time? Or you just never felt it? Why? Because some of you are past feeling. Are you in that position right now? Are you in that position right now? Acts chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts chapter 13 verse 46 reads, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." These two passages show that the Jews were the ones originally that the Holy Spirit was going to use, but they kept resisting. Resisting to a point where it's now past feeling. And so then God says, okay then, because you keep degrading my power, my movement in your life, I'm going to turn to somebody else. And guess what? Every time you resist the Holy Spirit, you're allowing God more and more to move from you and move to another person. God don't need you.
Amen.
I know that's a shock to some of you. God really needs me. No, God don't need you. God's got plenty of people he can use, and if no one's going to use it, I mean, didn't he drown out the whole world and just raised up one family to start something new? Didn't Jesus said, I'll use the rocks to cry out if no one's going to give me the glory? Then why are you preaching this sermon if God don't need me? Because you need him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You need him. The definition of a hurricane, remember, is that it doesn't stay at one spot. It goes where it moves. You did not move from one spot, one inch in your Christian life yet. When the Holy Spirit's moving and tells you to grow, you know what you better do? You better grow with him.
Amen.
You can't let the Holy Spirit follow you on your terms. See, you got to follow where the Holy Spirit goes on his terms.
Amen.
Where's the Holy Spirit moving you today? Oh, I'm okay where I'm at. No, you know you're not.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's telling you, follow me, or you're going to miss the wind.
Amen.
You're going to miss the hurricane. By the grace of God, San Jose Bible Baptist Church will move where the wind blows. It'll go within the rush of the hurricane. And we're not going to move out of there, because once you get outside the hurricane, you're a desolated, empty island and cannot knock over great towers and struggles for the Lord. Unless you're within the whims and the power of the hurricane, it'll knock down everything it goes. Are you that building that's put on a shelf that the Holy Spirit just swept over? Or are you the person that's following where the wind goes? I can imagine so many things in my life where many times I have seen the devil saying to the Lord, you're not taking this one, as literally thousands and then billions of souls are in hell today. And Satan says to the Lord, see all this? You're not taking these. You're not taking this one. One soul dies and burns in hell, being a murderer. And then the devil says to Jesus, you're not taking this one. Some poor soul goes in front of a statue of Mary, weeps in front of it, walking around the image in her bloody knees, trying to attain salvation. She dies and goes to hell, and the devil laughs at Jesus and says, you're not taking this one. So many students, wild with craziness and lost in mental conditions, it is a mental stupidity that these younger generations get into, deceived by their schools and joining the riots. And Satan says to Jesus, see this? You're not taking this one. And it's so sad. And then, can you imagine? I could have been one of them. You could have easily been one of them.
That's right, brother.
And the devil could have said, you're not taking this one. But thank God there was a time when I was amongst those billions and billions. And for some strange reason, I don't know what Jesus saw in me. And then as the devil came to put his claws on me and said, you see Gene Kim, he committed this sin and that sin. He's no better than all these people that you see at Silicon Valley and San Francisco Bay Area. So you're not taking this one. But before the devil could put his claws on me, bless God, Jesus Christ came down, took those claws off of my soul. And Jesus Christ said, no, you can't do that. And the devil says, but he's mine. And Jesus Christ says, no, no, you see that? Gene Kim,
listening to someone who opened up a King James Bible in front of him. You see that? They're going through Romans 3:23. And then Satan, the dreaded words that he heard was the next verse, Revelation 21, verse 8. And it was like a doomsday countdown to the devil. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. See, Gene is still listening, Satan. And Satan's like, but he's still mine. He's still mine. You're not taking this one. And Jesus says, you're going to lose him. You're going to lose him. Came to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. And then when it came to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the devil tried to steal it away by saying, Romans 10 is only for the Jews, you know. It's not for saved Christians today. And that no, that can't do anything for you. And Jesus says, shut up, Satan. Look at that soul. He's on his knees. Gene Kim, he's weeping on his knees, and he's doing Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And Gene Kim, all he had to do was just that cry that Simon Peter did, Lord, save me. And Jesus Christ said, all right, I'll save you. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he came down, put his loving arms around me. And as he hugged me, Satan, you looking at this? His arms is hugging me right now. And Jesus is saying right behind my back to you, hey, Satan, you're not taking this one. You're not taking this one. And bless God, the shout's going to get louder when the devil is burning in the lake of fire. And I am up there in my sweet home, unfried, unscathed, holy and pure, looking at the devil rotten and burning. And Satan, he's hissing. And then where he used to say, you're not taking this one, I look down at the devil after 500 years of burning in the millennium. I look at the devil and I tell him, hey, Satan, while you're burning, you're not taking this one. You're not taking this one. Hurricane Jehovah is coming. Will you follow him? Every head bow and every eye shut. The altar call is open. If the Lord laid upon your heart, please feel free to come down here on the altar's floor. It's a time where we give to you, where you can pray and get some things right with the Lord. But let Hurricane Jehovah move within you. Don't bind it. Don't degrade it. Don't deplete it. Let the hurricane move. And let it roar, especially during these trying times. You need that power. You need that Holy Spirit power. You need the hurricane to still manifest itself. God still changes lives. Nothing's going to stop that. Souls will still get saved. Nothing's going to stop that. Churches will still continue and worship God. Nothing's going to stop that. The only person that can stop it is you. You can choose to stay at your own spot and not move and not change. Remain as you are and let the Holy Spirit pass by you and you lose his awesome power and presence. Or you can say, Jesus, I will follow thee. And where the hurricane moves, you're just following behind him. You're holding his hand. And guess what? Nothing's going to stop you. Who can stop you if you follow that hurricane? Nothing's going to stop you. Hurricane Jehovah is coming. Are you ready? Will you follow him? Because it's soon passing. And you won't have that other chance. God's power can manifest so much more in this church, you know that? He can do more great things beyond your wildest imaginations if you would just move with him. If you will not just be so fixed like a building in your spot. If you'll just let the hurricane hit you and yield to the Holy Spirit, and where it bends and moves, you bend and move. Is the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life? Due to time, let me close in prayer. God, my Father, I pray that today's preaching has moved and
convicted, changed these lives. These are the souls that you bought with your precious blood. And that Holy Spirit will never leave us. Thank you so much for that, Father. But many times we have chosen to not follow you. Many times we have not yielded to the presence and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Quite often we have yielded to our own infirmities, to our flesh, to ourselves. May we yield to your power and to thy complete will so that you can use us so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.